Okay. All right. Now, we have been for a long time, we have been marveling in our salvation. Our salvation comes with so many benefits. Just like a good job, we stand back and we look at, and when we stand back and we look at our salvation in its depth, in its breadth, in its width, in its bigness, then we see like how awesome our salvation really is. That, like, you know, it's more than just this ticket to heaven. And I love the illustration that the Lord showed me last week. You know, our lives are but a vapor. That's what the Bible tells us, that our lives are but a vapor. You know, you ever been outside in the cold and talking out in the cold, and then as you, you know, your breath just dissipates? That's how the Bible talks about our lives, how brief it really is. And what's awesome about this is that the Lord, you know, John 10:10, he comes, that Jesus came to give us life and give it to the full. And so our salvation comes with all of these awesome things. And this is what I was talking about from last week. It's like the Lord gave us this awesome arcade that we get to play in, gave us a million quarters to play and 30 minutes to play in. We just don't have much time to do all of the awesome stuff that he's given us to do. We just don't have much time. And so really, like, please don't waste your time on earth like just chasing selfish desires. Please get invested in your salvation. It's so deep. It's so long. It's so wide. It's so every other dimension that we have. It's so awesome to get like more and more and more and more of him. There's a song that I really love that Shannon does not. But one of the lyrics in the song is, "You keep on getting better." And she doesn't like it for that reason, because it's like, well, the Lord's not getting better, right? Like, he's good. He's awesomeness is. But I take that to mean, like, I'm experiencing more of you. I'm experiencing more of you. I'm experiencing more of you. And it's such a wonderful sentiment to sing, because, like, if, to me, he keeps getting better and better and better and better and better. And it's, you know, from grace to grace and faith to faith. And the Lord is just, he's so, so good to us. And, okay, so this week now, you know, we've talked about a lot of benefits, and I wish Mike Calloway was here for this morning, because this is partially, he's partially responsible for this this sermon. We're moving into another sort of mini sermon series inside of this one, you know, like we did with love. We talked about love for a bunch of weeks or whatever. Now we're moving into another thing we're going to be in for 5 or 6 weeks or 6 or 7 weeks. We're going to talk about the armor of God, found in the end of Ephesians 6. And our armor that the Lord gives us is the belt of truth. It is the body armor of righteousness. It is the shoes of peace. It is the shield of faith. It is the helmet of salvation. And it is the sword of the Spirit. And so the Lord has given us this armor with which to live. So you get to have these things, like, to protect yourself against the terribleness of earth. Because earth is terrible. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give you life and give it to the full. So if you want life and to the full, then you really need to put on all this armor that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, so that you can fight against the terribleness, the steal, kill, and destroy that is the devil, right? See how that works? All of this stuff is God working for you. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to. He could have just given you salvation and let you have a crappy life here on earth, and then you know, you get to live. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He made all of this awesome stuff just for you. Just for you. So you can have this awesome, glorified, terrific life. That's what he wants for you. Okay, so let's read in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10. We're going to read through this. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God, from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that is the armor of God. Now, I am typically a topical preacher. That's typically what I pick a topic and then I, you know, explore that topic. Today we're going to do exegeting, which is we're just going to walk through this scripture, and I'm just setting up the whole series. So we're going to just kind of walk through this verse by verse. We're starting in verse 10. All right, a final word. That's where he starts, a final word. So he's written this book. Of course, for him it wasn't a book. For him it was just a letter. It is, for us, it's 6 chapters long. What is that, 5 pages, right? For him, he's writing this letter, okay? And he said all the stuff that he had to say, and now at the end he's like, hey, here's a little bit more good stuff. I want you to hear this good stuff before I wrap it up completely. So this is like important things, right? You ever tell your kids like, hey, you need to do this and do this and do this, and then you hit them with that last thing a little bit, like one more time. Hey, remember, pay attention to this thing, right? That's kind of what's happening here. He's given us his final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is important stuff. Be strong in the Lord. Because, again, the devil is out to get you, right? You want to be able to pull off all the stuff that I've said in this letter. That's what he's saying here. You want to obey your parents. You want to live by the Spirit's power. You want to be a good boss and be a good worker. You want to do all these things? Then be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. That's his encouragement to you. Be strong, which means you don't have to be strong. Right? He wouldn't tell you to be strong if it was a choice or if it wasn't a choice. He would just say, hey, it's awesome that you're strong, right? It's a choice for you. And you know it's a choice. Like, this is not new, right? You know that you've had times. I mean, my Christian walk has been like a roller coaster that doesn't go upside down. It's like, you know, sometimes my faith is solid, right? And I'm praying every day and loving Jesus. And sometimes I'm like, I'm not even paying attention to God. I had years in my life where I wasn't even paying attention to the Lord. I had nothing to do with him. I'm just living my life doing my own thing. And you guys are the same way. So you don't have to be strong in the Lord. You can be weak in him and still have your salvation. So, but don't do that. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's better. I've had all of this in my life. It's way better up here. It's way better when you're paying attention to the Lord. It just is. When you live your life based out of your selfishness, it's just terrible, right? Things just don't go right. They just don't. Okay. Now, verse 11. Now, you may note that verse 11 and verse 13 are basically the same verse, and we'll go over that again. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Now, put on. That means you don't have to wear this. Just like the clothes you're wearing today, you didn't have to put those on. These are available to you, but you don't have to wear them. Now, he's giving you the encouragement. You should put this on. It's important if you want to live a strong life in Jesus, if you want to fight the temptation of the devil, if you want to fight back, if you want to stand firm, if you want to be strong, then put this on. Right? Again, you don't have to wear it. You can live a crappy life if you want to. You can live this life about your selfishness and sort of kind of give God his due every now and then. Oh, well, I go to church every now and then, and that'll be good enough. No, it's not. It's not. The Lord wants you to stand firm, so you stand firm by putting on this stuff. Wear the stuff. That would have been cool if I had, like, all of these things to put on this morning. Gene would have liked that, probably. I don't know. You can't please Gene. Why am I even worried about it? All right. Okay, put it on. You may not be wearing it. You may not be wearing it. Yes, I didn't realize you weren't in here. I was teasing you. Yeah. Okay. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm. Now, most of these things, most of these items, as you look at the belt of truth, the body armor of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, only one of these is an offensive weapon. All the rest are defensive weapons or defensive protection. All of this is. Okay? I think that's an important thing to note because the Lord wants you to stand firm, right? You get your shoes on and you stand firm in the battle. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand against all the strategies of the devil. Now, again, the devil hates you. He hates you. It's not like, you know, like if you choose to wind up in hell someday, it's not going to be a party. You know, you hear people saying that like, oh, me and my buds, we're going to crack open some cold ones with the devil. No, it's not going to work like that. He hates you. Hell will be an eternal torment. I don't, anybody want to be tormented for eternity? I don't want to be tormented for eternity, right? That's not, like, hell is not going to be a big party with you and your raucous buds. It's not going to be like that. No, it's going to be a terrible place. And the worst part about it, the worst part about hell is not going to be the burning and the worm that never dies and the darkness. And the worst part is going to be the absence of God. Now, you have lived your entire life and never known the absence of God. You don't know what that's like. Because we here on earth, his spirit is here all over the earth. Now, I mean, you can tap into it or not tap into it, but nonetheless, you're still living in it. And one day, if you go to hell, then that it won't be the case anymore. But the devil hates you. John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who sounds like kill, steal, and destroy? Sounds good. Yeah, I like that. I want to do that. Kill, steal, and destroy. No, nobody wants that kind of life. Nobody. They much prefer have it to have a life and have it to the full. So I want to look at some of the other strategies of the devil, right? So we know he's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy, but also this is 1 Peter 5:8-9. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm. You see that? There it is again. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. So stay alert. Here's one of his strategies that he's warning us against in Ephesians. Peter is now warning us against to stay firm. Watch for a prowling lion who's just looking for somebody who ain't paying attention. That's kind of the way I've always sort of related to that. You know, here's a guy who's just going about his life, not really paying attention to God, not really paying attention to his life, just kind of doing whatever, and then, bam, here's the devil to destroy your entire life. But the Bible tells us to watch out for that. Here's another strategy of the devil. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So, commentators are separated on what that might mean. But some of it is TV preachers. Right? Send me your money and you'll be blessed. Right? Some of it is that. And there's some truth to that. You know, if you give your money to the Lord, then the Lord will bless you back, but that's not why you do it. So avoid that kind of talk. All right? Or, you know, they like, you can see on TV, you got to buy a rag. You know, you buy this rag and it's, you know, because Paul passed around his handkerchief and it would heal people. Right? That's not happening today, the best I can tell, at least not with TV preachers anyway. So these people claim to be one thing, but are not. They are not what they claim to be. They are not actual agents of light. They are disguised as an angel of light. They really are evil people. You know, your best life is lived inside the Holy Spirit. And God didn't come here just to make you happy, right? Because while I believe that that Jesus came to give us life and have it and give it to the full, that doesn't always mean happiness. It doesn't. Sometimes, because Paul had a fantastic life and got beat like 14 times or something like that and shipwrecked 3 times and bit by snakes and so on and so forth, right? That's not this happy life. But he was fulfilled in who Jesus was in his life. So the devil comes as an angel of light. Here's another way that I sort of think about this. I don't know how it works. I don't know how the devil puts stuff in your mind, how he tempts you. I don't really understand how that works. The Bible's not super duper clear on that. But I know that you're tempted to do things, right? Well, the same way I think happens, like you ever just be just going on about your day, and then somebody pops into your head, you're like, I haven't thought about them in 20 years. I haven't thought about them in 15 years. Or in Gene's case, I haven't thought about them in 80 years. And then you're like, I should pray for them. But then you don't. You don't. You don't pray for them. You just move on about your day. And then later, here comes this like guilt and shame and condemnation. You didn't pray for them. And I sort of wonder if that's not the devil himself, like reminding us of this person specifically just to trip us up later with the guilt and the shame. I don't have any biblical evidence to back up what I just said, but it's just something I feel like happens in my life from time to time. The devil will do anything he can to pull you off track because he hates you. You have something that he doesn't have, the opportunity to get back into heaven, to get back to the presence of the Lord. He doesn't have that. It's over for him. It's done. But you still have that choice. Please choose it. Okay, now look at verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but we're fighting against, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, this commentary I was reading this week called this a mafia of evil. And I thought that was a really good word for this. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but listen to this, against evil rulers, against authorities, against mighty powers, and against evil spirits. That's who our battle is against. Okay? When you're in some sort of drama with your kinfolks or whatever you've got going on, some sort of battle with your boss or whatever, then you're fighting not your boss himself or the kinfolks themselves. No, you're fighting against the selfishness that is inside of them. You're fighting against the selfishness that's inside of you. You are fighting this spiritual battle. If we were fighting physical battles, then you get out physical tools, guns, weapons, knives, whatever it is. If you're fighting an emotional battle, then you use emotional weapons and try to drag somebody down. Don't do that. It's terrible. If you're fighting a spiritual battle, which you are, then you'll need spiritual weapons. That's this stuff, this belt of truth, this body of armor, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. These are your spiritual weapons that you're going to need to fight against this evil mafia. And I don't know how these people show up in your lives. I don't understand what it means to the difference in an evil ruler and authority against a mighty power in a dark world or against an evil spirit in the heavenly place. I don't know what it's like. I don't know the difference in these people and how you fight them separately. But the Lord says, put on this stuff and it'll help you fight. So I'm gonna put on the stuff. At least I'm gonna try to. This is another reason why I think that we talked about this last week. You know, like we get into sin and we try to white knuckle our way out. I'm just gonna quit doing the thing. I'm just not gonna do that thing anymore. It's tripped me up too many times. I'm gonna come up here and I'm gonna snot and I'm gonna cry and I'm gonna make my commitment. I'm not gonna do that anymore. And then you fail like 3 days later. You come down off of that high and you fail three days later because you're trying to fight this battle with your own will. And you can't fight this battle with your own will because it's a spiritual battle. It's not a willful battle. It's a spiritual battle. You need to fight with spiritual tools. Get more Bible in you. Get more shoes of peace. Get more body armor of righteousness. That's what you need. Invest your life into who Jesus is, and that helps you fight this fight so you're not just like, I can do it on my own. You're never going to make it on your own. You couldn't get your salvation on your own. Why do you think you're going to have a life and have it to the full on your own? You're not going to do that. You got to fight. It's a spiritual battle. You got to use spiritual tools. Okay. Now, let's read here verse 13. Now, again, this is basically the same verse as 11. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. So again, it says, put on every piece of God's armor. You might not be wearing it. And as we just learned from the last verse, you need to be wearing it. Put it on. Then you'll be able to resist the enemy. Again, these are defensive tools. You need them to resist the enemy. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Resist and stand firm. Resist and stand firm. It says that over and over. Resist and stand firm. That's the job here. That's the goal here, folks, is to stand firm in your faith, to stand firm in your goodness. Now, or in God's goodness. All right, so moving 14, let's read 14, 15, 16, 17. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from good news, so you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, here's something that I found in the Bible this week when I was studying this that I think is just simply awesome. I'm going to read something to you out of Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is talking about Jesus. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. Now, how about that? Jesus wore this stuff too. And he was God. Do you think that you can make it if without you're not, because you're not God. Anybody? You're not God, right? So, if Jesus had to have it on, you got to have it on. Now, Jesus wore it a little bit differently. We wear truth as a belt. He wears truth like underwear. I don't understand it, but okay. We wear righteousness as a breastplate. He wears it as a belt. But look here, we're going to find it again in Isaiah chapter 59. Again, this is talking about Jesus. Yes, the truth is gone, and anyone who renounces evil is attacked. The Lord looked and was displeased to find there was no justice. He was amazed to find that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his strong arm, and his justice sustained them. He put on righteousness as a body armor. That's the same as ours. He placed the helmet of salvation on his head. That's the same of ours. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance. We don't have a robe of vengeance. And he wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. We don't have that one either. But Jesus put this stuff on. I didn't even know that was in the Bible until I started studying this. Jesus wore this stuff. Why do we possibly think that we can make it through life without putting this stuff on when Jesus himself had to wear it? And yet we do this all the time. We try to just white knuckle it through life. But we can't make it. We can't make it. Not on our own. We have to put this stuff on. Okay. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that come from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I have an assignment for you. I want you to read those scriptures every day for the next 7 weeks until we finish this. I want it to become like second I want it to become like second knowledge for you. You just know it. I want you to start reading this for the next 7 weeks every single day. It would take you, I don't know, how long? How long did it take me to read that? 8 seconds? Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I don't know how long that took, but not very long. I want you to start doing this. I want you to start thinking about this. If you need to, hang it on your bathroom door. Read it first thing in the morning or on your mirror or whatever. I want you reading this every single day because we're going to put this stuff on. We need it to defend ourselves against the evil that is the devil. Got it? That was quick. I'm at 22 minutes, guys. It's good because I am really sweating in this coat. So, all right. I love you guys. I hope you have a great week this week. Be praying for us as we do youth group stuff, as we travel, as we do whatever it is we do, playing, you know, we play games, pray that nobody gets hurt or whatever. You know, the bus does great, and, you know, just pray for us. Pray for Angela and I. Yep, pray for Angela and I as we deal with this. So, all right, I love you. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you are good, and you are holy, and you are wonderful. Lord, I pray for this group of people, Father, that we would put on this armor, God, that we would wear it and be standing firm against the attacks of the devil. God, that this would be a different group 6 or 7 weeks from now than it is today. God, that we would fight hard to stand our ground and to be different for you and for the causes of your earth. God, you're good, you're glorious, you're amazing. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.